Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everybody, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Well, hello, Bev. Are you having a great week?
I'm having a fabulous week, especially after last night, and we got rain, glorious rain, so I don't have to set up the sprinkler outside.
Hey, so, that's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. So you looking forward to next week as we join together for convention?
I can't believe it's that close already. Where did the time go? I am looking forward to it. And it's always so good to get back with your friends and acquaintances and learning new things at conventions. So, yeah, this will be great in spring.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have an individual that we're going to be interviewing today. I don't know a great deal about her, but Bev has let me know some things. And what Bev has told me, I am really looking forward to today's interview. I know you are as well, Bev. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. I love it. When I met Karen, I thought, oh my gosh, she's going to be perfect for Meet the People here. And yes, I'd love for everybody to get to know Karen. She is a special lady.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to bring on at this time our guest for today here on Meet the People of MCB. Welcome, Karen Heffernan, to Meet the People of MCB.
Hi. I'm very excited about this.
Good. Well, Karen, we're just so delighted to have you on here. I'm looking forward to this interview today. Bev has told me so much about you. Now, whether that's all true or false, we'll find out today. So,
only good things, Karen. I hope.
So, Karen, what we'd like to do is just kind of start off talking about your vision loss. So, why don't you share with us how things transpired and how you came to become blind?
Well, I had a problem with having anxiety attacks, lots of them every single day. And my blood pressure winded up going up so high that it burnt out the fibers behind my eyes. So I've lost the sight in my left eye, and I don't have too much peripheral vision in my left eye. So I can see a little bit. And that's what happened.
Okay, so you consider yourself low vision?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
One eye's blind and the other one I can see, but I can't see well. It's kind of really foggy, and I've lost pretty much all of my peripheral vision, and that's where I'm at.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Karen, talk to us a little bit about your immediate family. You got brothers, sisters, you're married, you have kids, or share with us.
I have three sisters. Two of them are in New Jersey. One of them is in South Carolina. I am the oldest, up to which they remind me regularly. And I have three kids. I have Justin. He is here. I am here with him in Missouri because I am from New Jersey. I just moved to Missouri in 2020 after I lost my sight. And I have my daughter Candace, who is in New Jersey, and my son Paul, who is in Florida.
Okay, so what brought you to what was it that brought you to Missouri?
My son, daughter-in-law, and of course my grandson.
Okay,
He's 7th of November.
Okay, well, we're so glad that you made the move, and I hope that things have worked out well for you. So we're really happy to have you here in Missouri.
I am very happy to be here. It has changed my world in so many ways, good ways.
Good ways.
I love Missouri.
Yeah. Well,
I really do.
I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a second, but share with us a little bit about your education. Where did you go to school? Did you attend college anywhere?
Well, I actually made it to adult college, to my junior year in Kane College in New Jersey. And then I got pregnant with my daughter, and that was it from there on in. Then I had another child after her, and everything else is a blur for quite a while.
Kids will do that to you.
Yes. People ask me, you know, about 80s music, if I like 80s music, and that's when I had two of my kids. Uh-huh. And I always tell them, I have absolutely no idea what the music was in the 80s. I was just trying to survive.
So what kind of a degree were you working on when you were going to adult college?
Well, I was getting my credits and things through the bank that I worked for. I worked for PNC Bank by day and Home Depot by night. And I was able to, through the bank, take courses at the college. So I was actually taking a lot of analytical courses. And I also like reading, and I took comprehension and courses like that. And I really didn't know where I was going with it, to be very honest. I was just so excited to get back to school. Because when you go to school as an adult, it's totally different than when you're a kid. When a kid, you don't want to be there, you know? And that is an adult, I was loving it.
Oh, all right. So I've got one more question before I turn it over to Bev. Can you share with us a little bit? Did you have much of a work history?
Well, mostly since my 20s. I'm now, I'm going to be 67 next month. But since about the 20s, I've been in banking in New Jersey for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when I got a divorce, I needed a second job. So then I worked at Home Depot at night.
Oh, okay.
For over 22 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I love that job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And whereabouts in New Jersey did you call home?
South Plainfield, New Jersey, but many people don't know that because it's not very big. But I can tell you that it was right next door to East Brunswick and New Brunswick. If anybody's been to Jersey, they would have an idea.
Yeah.
Central New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think also for a lot of our listeners, I know some of them, like myself, is familiar with Morristown, New Jersey, because I had gone there back in 1990 to get my guide dog. So I'm sure that people are familiar with. Yeah. Okay.
Morristown is nice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, Bev, I know you've got a ton of questions, so you just go right and take off.
Oh, Karen and I can talk. We've done that there at camp, so I love it. I love it. Yes. And so moving here, that was a leap, wasn't it, to leave your familiar areas and leave the shore and come to Missouri. Yes. That's a big adjustment.
I never saw myself ever doing anything like that. I chose Missouri to be, you know, of course, by my grandson. That's my only grandchild.
Uh-huh.
And of course, my son and my daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
But I never thought that I was, you know, going to have to do that because, as a lot of people know, New Jersey is very expensive. And I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't afford my house anymore. So I had to make a decision what I was going to do. So when I came here to Missouri, I don't know my way around. And losing my sight and trying to figure out how to even plug something in, it's a big change. I miss my kids. And my other two kids, and I miss my family. But not that you're asking me about this, but I actually found Jesus when I moved here. the people here made me feel so much. They taught me a lot. Missouri has taught me an awful lot. And, you know, with that, I also got a lot of help. New Jersey does not really help a lot when you have a disability, at least not mm-hmm. by losing your sight. So it was mm-hmm. very disappointing. And I was expecting the same when I came here. And I was absolutely floored to find out how much Missouri does for their people. And I'm not politically inclined, so I'm not trying to push anything, but they really care about their people. They have helped me just beyond.
Yes, and I've heard that. But, you know, I've lost my sight while I lived here, but I'm originally from Illinois. So God puts us in the path when he knows we need them. And so I think we've been blessed to be here. And I am proud of Missouri with all their benefits and that they do to help you adjust to your blindness. And that's a big step, adjusting to the blindness as an adult. My girls were all little. They were 3, 6, and 10. I had no time, you know, to,
wow.
to make that change.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, but,
I can't imagine. Can't imagine having to take care of little kids.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You don't have a choice.
Yep. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sink or swim.
Sink or swim. Yes, that's true. That's true. You know, I always thought, you know, you've got two choices. You can either have a pity party or you can get up and do something about it. I'd rather get up and do something about it.
Absolutely. So. Or the world is not going to move. Things aren't going to change for you. You've got to make things change.
Yes, and that's why I'm so anxious to get you involved with Missouri Council on a state level or even on a local level. And I'm just so impressed with your get up and go and wanting to do things. Now, at camp, you told me about different organizations you were in prior to, I'm not sure if it's prior to coming to Missouri. Was it Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts that you helped out with?
I was a Girl Scout leader. I was a den mother. And for a short period of time there, I was the pack leader for the Boy Scouts, simply because they lost their pack master and they nobody wanted to do it at that moment. So I did it. And then mm-hmm. finally, you know, one of the guys jumped in, I think out of shame that I was going in the pack. And so, but that was fun. That was a good experience for me.
Yes.
You know, so I was involved in that. And I ran the softball league when I worked for the bank. We played softball with other banks in the summer. Yeah.
Wow. Can you expand a little more on the softball league with the bank?
Well, I pitched because I can't throw and I can't catch, but I could pitch pretty good. And, we started talking with, me and this other, guy, Eric, talking with other banks here and there about it'd be fun to get together and play softball and stuff. They had a league and it was kind of like going away and it was drifting away. So, between mm-hmm. the two of us, Eric has since left the bank, so he wasn't involved anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, you know, wound up sending out emails to everybody and then picking up some of the banks that we had already been playing. And then we played some companies, you know, that would come and we had a field that we played on every single Thursday in the summer for a couple of months. And it was reserved for us. And then people would show. That would be it. It was great. I really loved it.
It sounds like you are a natural organizer and a leader.
I enjoy organizing. I don't know how much of a leader I am. But I do love organizing stuff and, you know, doing. I've done a lot of stuff, you know, setting up a night for bowling and with people at Home Depot and you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So I enjoy mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm.
And even you know. Doing your career working at the bank, oh my gosh, that is such lifetime fundamental teachings for your daily life. And then Home Depot, what a combination, hardware
yes.
and bank.
Yes, I would tell people I'm white collar by day and blue collar by night. And I like blue collar a whole lot more. I love that. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I actually prefer shopping through a hardware store, but try to get someone to tell you everything and what department we're in. I will stop and say, "Where? What are we going by now? I want to know what's in the aisle right now."
Right. Yes. Yes. They often put me at the front door as greeter, and uh-huh. they would make popcorn and stuff like that because I love people.
Oh,
so
wow.
they liked me up there. So they put me up there a lot. That was fun.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Oh, great. Well, you talked about your grandchild. How old is he? It's a boy, right?
Yes. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. I love that name.
Yes. We call him Zeke.
Uh-huh. How old is he?
He's going to be 7 in November.
Oh, what a great age. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun.
Oh.
Together.
Yep, those are grandkids.
Yes.
They're important.
And it's so different, as you know, with grandchildren and with your own children. You really get to have a
mm-hmm.
whole lot of fun with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then send them home.
Yes, exactly. Okay, what time should I pick them up? Not
yeah.
past 6.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. My grandkids have got me out to hula hoop and jump rope with them. Really? Do you really think I could do this? But they encouraged me, so I did it. And I thought, well, I'm kind of proud of myself. I did the hula hoop 10 times. Without them encouraging us, so I don't think I'd even venture out doing something like that. But they are fun. Okay, I know something two that you'd like to talk about is, besides grandkids, you've got a four-legged kid.
Yes, I do. I am a pet parent. I've got my girl Penny. I adopted her, and she's an American foxhound, and she runs the show. I'm an enabler. She runs the show.
Oh, wow. Is she long? Is that a long-haired dog or short-haired?
Short hair.
Okay.
She's kind of like looks like a beagle, but she's got longer legs.
Oh.
That's the easiest way to explain.
With floppy ears?
Yes. The first floppy-eared dog I've ever had. And she's, she's different than any kind of dog that I've ever had. They're, you know, a lot of dogs, they come up and they lick you a whole bunch. And
mm-hmm.
she is more of a snuggler. It's hard to explain. She shows her affection in a different way than I'm used to. And once I got used to it, now she cracks me up all the time. I'll be talking to her, telling her what's going on. She sticks her nose up in the air, looks in the distance, and like, I'm not talking to you. You can just keep dying. I really don't care what you say. Her face is cracking me up. In the beginning, it used to bother me. But now she just makes me laugh.
Oh.
And she'll kind of look at me inside and I'll go, I saw you look at me.
They are all different. And that's what makes the world go around, is the diversity with people and pets and everything. But I really enjoyed my dog too. But have you found any difficulties being a pet owner when you're visually impaired? I could give you a for instance. I hesitate because I feel like it's hard enough to get myself to the doctor. How am I going to get a dog to the veterinarians too?
My son, Justin, I was lucky, thank you God, that he actually, I live on the same street as him.
Uh-huh.
And so, and he has a dog, Oakley. We actually got our dogs at the same time. I was looking for a dog and we both found a dog. He was not planning on getting a dog himself. And
so he can blame you.
Yeah. That's right.
Or give you credit.
And he does. Well, yeah, he gives credit. He does. So, as a matter of fact, we went to the vet this morning with both dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's a situation I ran across last night. I was sitting out on my deck and I heard the neighbor behind me, they must have two new little dogs, even though they've got two big dogs, you know, and one of the kids must have left the door open. So these little dogs darted out. They're running all over. The child is screaming and yelling, trying to get them. I wanted to get up and go help, but I didn't know if I could be any help finding these dogs. And then I realized I may get lost and not find my way back to my house.
I've done that.
Have you? So
Now I bring my iPhone with me everywhere so that I can call my son. But yep. I was walking the dog and all of a sudden I realized I don't have a clue where I am. He had to come looking for me.
Did he? Yeah, I've got my neighbors trained now where they go, oh, Bev, were you lost again?
That's great. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I have a problem with Oakley. She's a cattle dog, and she walks in front of you.
Oh.
So many times I have almost fallen over from her because I can't see. Unless I look down, I don't have any peripheral vision, like below my nose.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sneaks, you know, there and walks in front of me. I don't see her at all. So when she's here, I'm very careful. I look down when I'm walking just to make sure she's not in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she's trying to do her part of hurting you.
Yeah. I have her a lot.
Do you? Mm.
Yeah. I asked Justin to bring her over to play with Penny. So.
Oh, yes. A playmate.
Yes. They have play dates.
Yeah. Well, I better let Chip jump in here and follow up with some questions.
Yeah, well, thank you, Bev. And thank you, Karen. Karen, I want to go back and pick up on a couple of things.
Thank you.
For you, moving from New Jersey to Missouri, what was that, quite a culture shock for you?
It really is. And, you know, things definitely are slower here. And people are, their sense of humor is totally different from the East Coast. So I find myself, I have to watch my Jersey sense of humor sometimes because people look at me and I go, I'm kidding. And I've had to say that a lot. And, you know, they're quieter, more serene. I think that's the word that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not rush, crazy. It's more, you know, just, it's easier. I've been blessed more times in my whole life. The first half a year I was here, the people just blessing me, you know, seeing that I can't see, let me say a prayer for you. It's a totally different atmosphere.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. It's a big difference.
Yeah. Share with us a little
bit.
But
I'm getting used to that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Share with us a little bit how you were able to adjust to your vision loss? I guess it kind of did it all come about all at once, or is it still progressing? But more about your adjusting to it. Were you able to accept it right off? Did you go through any type of grief or anguish or any of those kind of things?
100%. It was pretty horrible. I'm the hardest thing that I find, and it's kind of funny because now I'm on the other end of not being able to see. And I remember seeing people that were blind and being afraid to approach them because you think you're going to do something wrong. And now here I am, you know, and I'm having a hard time making friends. That's my biggest thing because of that reason, I think. I mean, people are friendly around here, but no matter how many times I really get together with people, it's not like, hey, why don't we go out and do something? Because I think they're worried about what is this girl going to be able to do? Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why camp was so great, because for the first time since I lost my sight, I felt like I was part of the world again.
Yeah,
and I made three friends that we talk all the time. And that really pumped a whole lot into my self-confidence.
Yeah.
Things like being able to plug things in. You know, I used to paint myself. You know, me and my mother, we used to do a lot of stuff around the house. Mm-hmm. There were so many things I could do that I can't do now. But Missouri Council of the Blind, they've helped me through so much. They helped me get a grant to be able to get a video magnifier, which allows me to like put on makeup because I can still see a little bit. And I can turn it backwards and look out the window to see what kind of birds are on my birdhouses.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, which I love because I can hear, there's so many more birds here. But I can hear them, but I can't see them. But yeah, it was really hard. But now that I'm part of what somebody said to me, one gentleman, Bob, who will be listening to this, Deb, you know Bob.
Yes.
Somebody. You know, learning how to like put toothpaste on your finger, you know, instead of trying to put it on your toothbrush.
Yeah.
And, you know, little things like that. Now that I'm becoming part of what he calls our community, and I love the sound of that, I'm starting to cry right now because it feels so good not to be alone anymore. You know, I know that I'm a part of something and I can do stuff. So it's starting to get better now. It's just starting to get better now. And, you know, with all the tricks, you know, that people are teaching me, you know, I did have some people come and they told me how to cook on the stove and the sweep, you know, that makes it so that, you know, you're picking up everything. All these things are big when you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I have a tendency to go on and on, but yes, I have to admit, in the beginning, it was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
But it's getting better.
Good. I know, you know, when you first lose your vision, then all of a sudden, once you kind of mentally adjust and accept your blindness, it is a learning process. And you seem to have been able to get through it quite well and been able to move on with life. I love your attitude, your enthusiasm, and able to accept things, and you're experiencing things and learning new ways of adapting to your vision loss. So I commend you on that. You seem to have adjusted really quite well. So let me ask you, Karen,
thank you.
How did you learn about MCB?
Actually, I was on the bus going to church. And somebody there was blind and gave me a whole bunch of the information. And that's how I learned about MCB. Gave me some phone numbers, emailed me a bunch of stuff. And then when I went through Nanopack to get the video magnifier, actually I've lost more sight since I've come here, but I've thankfully the doctor has told me that it's as bad as it's going to get now. So now that stopped. They told me to go through MCB too. So they've been very helpful with that. And then when I was reading my do's and don'ts weekly email, that's when I read about the camping. Mm-hmm. And I immediately made a phone call to Bev and said, I want to go.
You've really met a wonderful friend in person with Bev Cascaden. And, you know, she's a type of person that if you have any questions about MCB, she is the go-to person. She can show you the ropes. She can explain things to you, let you know more about MCB, the different services, programs that we provide, the different things that we offer, and how we operate. So you've got a wonderful friend with her, and it seems like both of you have connected really quite well, so which is really good. And I'm
right away.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you were able to go to camp, because I tell you, that is just so tremendous. Been able to go, have a lot of fun, meet a lot of great people, start some brand new friendships. So happy to hear that you've had such a wonderful time at camp. And hopefully that, you know, you'll even be, maybe next year even, be able to attend one of our MCB state conventions, because even there you get to learn a lot more. You get to make a lot more friends. And the more you get acquainted, like you just said, with the community, then it really does something for your confidence about being someone who is blind, and it helps you with your independence. And it just does so much for you with your overall health and well-being.
Absolutely. You know, and I wanted to, you know, when I wouldn't be able to do things, there were times, you know, something simple, and I would just sit there and sob. But now when I do something and I stick with it, I'm so proud of myself. It's a totally different thing. And I also wanted to mention, if I may, that I love camping. I did a lot of camping with the Scouts, and I was a Scout myself when I was a kid. For people that look at the you know, they're going camping, I want them to realize that it's not like something like you're sleeping in a sleeping bag and you're laying on the ground.
Yeah.
I jumped out because I love camping, but it's not like that. It's not like that at all. You know, you get fed and everything. They feed you. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. They have sidewalks and stuff that go to every single bungalow. And, you know, there's people out there that are, you know, they're just feeling lost. I just go camping and you will be amazed at how great it is. Just amazed.
Yeah.
It did the world for me.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Bev here in just a moment. We don't have a whole lot of time left here, but also wanted to ask you, how was your family, your sisters, the rest of your family, your children, how well were they able to adapt to your vision loss? Were they very supportive? Are they protective? How have they been able to accept your blindness?
They've been pretty, really great about it. I had lost my sight in April of 2019, and I moved here in January. So I had to have surgery for my cataracts and stuff after I lost my sight. And they took me, each one of them, went to the doctors with me, my sister Lynn, because with the stroke and everything, I almost died. So they were, you know, they were there, of course. But they are still learning when I go to visit New Jersey, how to help me, how to hold my arm, because they didn't really get the opportunity to find out how to help me. When I came here, I was still using a walker. I had to learn to walk again and all that kind of fun stuff. So When I went there in the summer, this past summer, they were learning more and more about me. What can I see? What can't I see? And of course my daughter Candace, you know, she was there every second she could. So they're very supportive. They're very supportive. They're pretty amazing.
Oh yeah.
We're the Geppner girls. My maiden name. We call ourselves the Geppner girls, and we're pretty tight.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's really great. Well, like I said, we don't have a whole lot of time here remaining, but I want to turn it over to Bev because I know she may have a question to remaining. So go ahead, Bev.
All right. You know, when you have that family support, that means a lot, Karen. Even my family, that brothers and sisters, we get out of the car and they walk off. Hey, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of the street here, guys. And they just forget. They forget. And it's nothing intentional, you know. And I've had people say, you know, oh, my gosh, you do so well. We forget, you know, that you can't see. I said, well, hang around a little bit. You'll watch me run into a wall or something. And that's one thing at camp. We could share all these things, you know.
I know, we went out to a place here to eat, and everything was, you pick it out, you know, food
a la carte. Uh-huh.
And I'm standing there, and I'm like, where'd everybody go? I can't see anything. I don't know what's here. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot. My son Justin, we reverse roles. He takes care of me beyond what he needs to do. He's just amazing. I'm so proud of him. He's like right there for me. Mm-hmm. Right there.
And if we didn't have our sense of humor and be able to laugh at some of the things, you know, I'd feel lost without the sense of humor. And being around friends that know what we're talking about, you know, that makes a difference too. So what hobbies do you have? We haven't talked about your hobbies yet.
I loved working in the yard and doing a vegetable garden and stuff like that. Since I can't see the weeds, and because the clay is so bad here in the ground, instead I do everything above ground. My flowers are above ground. That was my biggest, my most enjoyable hobby. So I just changed it up a little bit so that I can still enjoy it. And I have my books, my Audible books, and, I love to listen to books. I used to read like 3 books a week, so I do a lot of that.
Oh, wow. Is there a certain category of books you like to read?
I like mysteries. I don't like romance and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, oh, it's getting a little too mushy.
I love Harlan Coben. He's really funny. James Grappano, he is really funny. You know, they've got sarcasm and stuff, sarcastic humor in it. And that's the type of books I like, with a mystery in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should put together a book club within Missouri Council and share some of the books that we're reading. So,
yes. Well, and I'll tell you what, I don't know Braille because I really didn't need to learn it, to be honest with you, because I can see a little bit. But now, if you're playing cards and you have the number, you know, and you have the Braille cards and stuff, I'm like, I realize that I can't, a lot of numbers, I can't understand what they are. Like 3 and 5 is the same and stuff like that. So I'm learning Braille. So when I go next year, I can see the cards with my fingers. So I'm very proud.
All right. And the bingo that we play, can you see the large print on the bingo, or are you?
Yeah.
Can you? Okay. Yeah. I'm glad we've bought those bingo cards and make it available. And it really helps even there at Cobblestone for other people to see how we do things too, that we can still have just as much fun as they do. And we just have to do a little adapting. And I took a lady there one time, Mary Mellis. I just loved her. And she was an artist, but she had macular degeneration. She was losing all this. And she said, you know, I sit back and watch all you sightless people run into the bushes, and you just get up, brush yourself off, and go again.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I have really enjoyed getting to know you, Karen, and I want to be here to help you too. And I'm going to make sure that you get edition of the newsletter, the Chronicle that Missouri Council puts out, and keep you abreast of all kinds of information. But you let me know too what you need, and that's what we're all here for, is to help each other out. So
that's great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this, you guys. It was great. I was terrified, and actually, once we started going, I lost my fear. So you were really good.
Oh, good, good, good. Chip, I'm going to let you finish it up.
All right. Thank you, Bev. And again, thank you, Karen. You're just such a delightful person to get to meet, to get to know. And again, I just love your attitude, your enthusiasm, and just how well that you have adjusted to your blindness. And so, Bev and I want to thank you for being our very special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB.
Yes, me too. Thank you, Karen.
And I'm sure, Karen, you're going to make a lot of great friends in the organization. So it's going to be wonderful having you as a member of MCB.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That means a lot.
Don't cry now, Karen. It's okay.
Yeah, you start crying. You start crying. Bev will start crying. I'll start crying.
Yep. But I do want to send a hug over the wire here. Just send a hug to you.
Same to you. Back at you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.
Goodbye.